Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to kind of read several verses tonight, but we're going to skip around in Hebrews 3 and one other place tonight. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. We're going to read all these verses together in unison tonight, all right? So that means you're going to read all of these with me, but we're going to read four or five different verses here. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to read verse number 7 together in unison. You ready? Here we go. Hebrews 3, verse number 7. Ready? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. Now skip down to verse number 13, and let's read that in unison together. Hebrews 3, 13. Ready? But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through your deceitfulness of sin. Now let's skip down to verse 15, and let's read that in unison. Ready? While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 7. Let's read that one together. This will be the last verse we read for right now. Ready? Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. I sure would like to help your people. Lord, we live in such a dark and saddened and just a despondent world, depressed. I pray that you'd help me tonight. Help me to use your word with your truth to help your people. Help us to have your mind as we listen to the preaching of the word, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me, I'm going to say something that it's not intended to be about me, but I live a pretty happy life. I really do. My wife and I have a happy marriage. Say why? Because I'm never home. we truly live happily. We really do. My wife and I enjoy life. This doesn't mean that we don't have problems. It doesn't mean that we don't face hard times. Doesn't mean that we don't face bad news. And it doesn't mean that we don't face tragedy. We probably face more of that than most families in this room. My line of work, we deal with bad things all the time. We get bad news almost every day. I hate saying this. I think this is the first week in over 2.5 years I haven't heard of somebody dying. Literally, in 2.5 years. Straight. And often it's multiple times. I know today's not over, so it could change. But being in the ministry, you deal with heartache, burdens, disease, bad news, tragedy, death. I mean, it's just constant. I deal with bad or stressful news literally every day of my life. In spite of all this, I'm a pretty happy person. Anybody that knows me knows I'm happy. I'm not a depressed person. I don't deal with people's problems, and I'm going to use a term, professionally. I don't have little formulas that I use, and I just never think about it. I love to help people. I love to meet people's needs. I love to help people through their problems. But I sincerely, and I mean this, I sincerely hurt with people. But I've learned how not to stress over their problems or mine. You know, this sounds funny to you. I'm really not stressed over this. Now, Thursday, it was a bit of a stressful day. And it had wore me down, but I wasn't stressed about the project. It was, how fast can I get through this? The stress was, can we get this done expediently, or am I going to wait 3 months? That was the stress to me. It wasn't, can we get it done? Oh, I know it can get done. It was, who's going to do this? How fast are we going to do this? And can I get a bunch of people to work at my pace, not their pace? I don't stress over people's problems. And please don't take this the wrong way. When people have problems and heartaches, I don't get all stressed out over it. When Greg took a dive at Golden Corral, and he's okay. a couple months ago, I got worried about it. I was concerned, but I wasn't panicked. Matter of fact, I walked in, and she was out in the hallway walking around trying to not turn green. I walked in, they're finishing the last ditch, and I looked at the doctor and said, "How about you let me do one or two of those?" Yeah, and Greg says, "Don't you let him touch me." Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I would have taken it outside and sewed up Weeda for a while. No, I don't stress over those things. I really don't. I'm going to make a statement here. People say, "Preacher," I heard this three times in the last 2 weeks. "Preacher, how do you stay happy all the time?" I don't stress over the past. You know, things that have happened in the past, don't worry about them. Can't change what was. I don't try to live what was. It's already past. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about what's on the schedule for tomorrow. I'm not worried about what am I going to face tomorrow. I don't try to recreate the past. I don't fret over what might be, what could be, what may be. I have learned the secret to living a happy life. We read it five times in four verses in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. Today. Did you know if you just live today, you can live a pretty happy life? Just live today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what was yesterday. Just live today. Five times God says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice." The Bible says, today, 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 today. And over and over and over and over, it's about today. Just try to have a good day today. And tomorrow, don't try to measure it up with today. Tomorrow, have a good day today. Quit trying to compare one day to the next, because every day is a different day. You know, too many people set this standard of this is what makes a good day. Did you know you only have one of those in your life? That's today. So why not live today? Most people do not live a happy life. The weather wasn't real accommodable today. It was rainy. It was humid. It was cold for some, hot for others. And people walked in today because of the weather. The hair didn't curl. It's a bad hair day. So today's a bad day.
You're right.
That's called a bad scalp day, Brother Barnes. Someone was driving horribly on the way to church other than you, and it became a bad day. It's amazing how some people can really have everything going right. Somebody does something stupid on the road, and you decide to have a bad day over what somebody else did that you had no control over. You know, it is, and please don't take this the wrong way. I really don't get all torqued out about the way people drive. They're going to be stupid. I'm not going to let somebody else's stupidity cause me to have a bad day. The kids were a challenge, not yours, mine. And there was a fuss today, so it's been a bad day. We didn't get everything done yesterday. We wanted to get done. So today is a bad day because you got more to do. We have a difficult week ahead of us at work, so it's going to be a bad day. Can I tell you something? Somebody you know, you got a call. They're sick. Got bad news. So it's a bad day today. Can I tell you something? I don't let those things affect me. I'm sorry if Brother Stoltz has got his head in a bucket throwing up tomorrow. But I'm not going to have a bad day because he's throwing up in a bucket tomorrow. I'll say I'm sorry, I'll pray for you, and I'll hurt for you, but I don't want to throw up for you. Amen? If Malachi goes out and breaks his arm playing football again, I'm going to go to the hospital, and I'm going to harass him a little bit. I'm going to try to calm his mother down again, and all those things, but I'm not going to have a bad day because he broke his arm. I didn't break my arm. It's not a bad day. He might not be having a good day, but I'm having a good day. You see, you got to live today. You have to live one day at a time. The secret to a happy life is not worrying about having a happy life. Let me say that again. The secret to living a happy life is not trying to live a happy life. Try to live a happy today. If you're trying to be a good wife, and that's your goal in life, you will fail. Try to be a good wife today. If you're trying to be a good husband, and that's the goal in life, you will fail. How about be a good husband today? You know, you will never succeed at being 100% at everything every day. But you can let each day be its own day. You try to live today the best you can. If it didn't work out, bless God, sun's coming up tomorrow. There's another day coming. You will never be a good child if your goal is to live as a good child. Try to be a good child today. You say, well, I got in trouble at school Friday. Okay, live better tomorrow at school. Give your best tomorrow, because tomorrow there'll be school. And give it your best that day. Okay. Young people, close your ears. I didn't study much at college. I didn't study much at high school. And I got good grades. Can I tell you why? First of all, when I went to class, I gave everything I had to that class. I took copious notes. I started taking notes from the moment the teacher walked in the classroom. Brother Stoltz, you and I had classes together. I'd sit as close to the front as I could. I'd write down, Dr. Laurent walked in at this time. He talked to X number of students before the bell rang. If he sang a song to start class, I wrote down the title of the song we sang. If he called on somebody else to pray, I wrote down the name of the person that prayed in class. If he prayed, put teacher prayed. I absorbed myself. I took copious notes. Matter of fact, I had teachers who asked me at the end of the semester for my notes to copy so they could teach that class again because my notes were better than their notes. I'm not kidding. I had two different college professors ask me for my notes to copy them to give them back to them. So I would do that in every class. I dated my notes, everything. We had 10 minutes between class. I would go from one class to the next, sit down, open my notebook, and review the notes from the day or two before, and my mind was ready for that class before that class started. I was already up to speed with the teacher where the teacher was going to start before the teacher got there. You know, if you had a 3-day-a-week class, you studied for 5 minutes every day. That's 15 minutes to study every week. If you went 4 weeks between tests, I had an hour worth of study, and I never studied extra other than 5 minutes before class. I didn't have to study. I absorbed myself of that class. By the way, as soon as I closed that notebook, I was done, went to the next class, did the same thing. I gave myself to each and every one of those moments. And that's how you live a happy life. Now, I got to hurry. I only have, I think, 4 points here I want to give you. And I'll get us out of here on time one way or the other because I went way over this morning. Number one, we need to live each day as its own. You want to live a happy life? Live each day as its own day. Quit worrying about, did I have a good year? Did I have a good week? Did I have a good month? Did I have a good decade? I don't know. I'm just trying to have a good today. Just try to live today. Live each day as its own life. Does that make sense? Live each day as its own life. And it has three phases. You have morning, sun comes up. You have the afternoon, that's the middle years. Then you have the sunrise, and that's the later years. And then you have nighttime, that's death, amen? Keel over dead and sleep for a few hours. Get up and do it all over again. Morning's resurrection. You know, you can't change past days. You know, you cannot go back and live yesterday. And for some of us, thank God. Did you know, and please don't take this the wrong way, did you know thinking about tomorrow today isn't going to fix anything tomorrow? It's not going to change it. I don't think about tomorrow till tomorrow gets here. Tomorrow is the today that somebody worried about yesterday. I don't live that way. I live today. I have a schedule. It tells me what I'm to do today. I don't look ahead usually. Now, I plan way ahead. I even plan when I plan. We work on these things way in advance. That's why I don't fret as big things happen. Let each day stand on its own. I like golf. I like the way golf tournaments are set up. But there's one kind of golf that I really like. I wish they'd go more to. It's called match play. How many of you know what match play golf is? Most people think a round of golf, 18 holes. Actually, a golf tournament is four 18 holes. It's 72 holes. They play on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the professional world. And it's whoever has the lowest score total over those four rounds of golf. Okay? Match play is if Brother Stoltz and I are playing golf, we're going to play 18 holes. Let's say that first one's par four. Brother Stoltz does it in five shots. I do it in four shots. That means I won hole number one. Hole number two, you start a whole different game. At hole two, let's say it's a par three, he gets it in two shots, I get it in three shots, he won hole number two. That means we're even. And it's done by winning the hole. Not by winning, not the overall score, but how many holes you won during that round. Does that make sense to everybody? That's the way you live life. That's a fun way to play golf. That makes everybody equal at each hole. Do you know if I'm not worried about trying to have a good year, I'm just trying to worry about have a good day, every day I have a better chance of having more good days than not. Live each day to its fullest and the best you can. Let each day stand alone. Don't compare anything to another day because every day is different. Too many people have one good day they think every day then should match that one day the rest of their life. Wrong answer. Well, I remember 15 years ago, I had a good day, and boy, I wish I could go back. 15 years, I remember when my kids were this big. I wish we were back then. You're crazy. Enjoy those days when they're young, but God knows I don't want to change no more diapers. I don't want to fuss with kids. I want the kids to have kids and bring them to my house, spoil them, let them fuss with them. I don't have any qualms about getting older. I'll be 51 years old in a couple weeks. It does not bother me. I don't feel like it's that old. Say why? Because I'm enjoying today. I'll just enjoy today. So let me help you with something here. We need to walk with God each day. walk with God today. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 95. And if you look back at the verses we read in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about those things being with God every day. Look at Psalm 95, verse number 7. Psalm 95, verse number 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Notice it says, today, if you'll hear his voice. There's not a person in this room that didn't eat today. Y'all eat every day. Y'all ought to walk with God every day. You ought to listen to the voice of God every day. Say, well, preacher, where do we hear the voice of God? Right there in his word. The word of God is his voice. He spoke these words. It's his voice. That means you ought to be in the word of God every day to hear his voice every day. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you heard his voice? How long has it been since you read his word? Say, well, I didn't get as much out of it today. Okay, but you got tomorrow. Live tomorrow as today when you get there. You ought to hear his voice every day. I talk to my wife every day. I hear her voice every day. Now, sometimes we talk at length. Sometimes we don't talk as much because we don't see each other as much. If I'm out of town or she's out of town, we still talk every day. Say why? Because I love to hear her voice. I love to hear my wife's voice. Sunday nights, a couple of our kids call us on Sunday nights. And we look forward to hearing their voice. There's times where our kids will call us and, boy, you know that voice. You know what I'm talking about? It's just one of those things. Now, can I tell you something? Walk with God today. And tomorrow, walk with him today. If it didn't happen today, tomorrow's the day. Make today the day. You see, too many people, well, I want to read through the Bible in a year. How about you just read the Bible every day? Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't care if you read through the Bible in a year. I think every Christian ought to, at some point in time in their life, just read it every day. That's the important part. Say, well, what part do I read? I'll help you with that later, but just read it every day. You don't have to read from Genesis to Revelation to read through your Bible. I told somebody this week, I don't remember. It was probably a few years ago, the last time I read through my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, just went straight through. I never read through the Bible that way, hardly. Say why? Because I read what I need. I average reading 2 to 3 times a year through my Bible just in my casual reading. But I don't hardly ever read from Genesis to Revelation. If I know I'm facing some tough times, I know what portion of the Bible to read. If things are real heavy, I'm not going to read Isaiah and Ezekiel. I'm not going to read 1 Chronicles and this person begat that person. That's not going to be what I need today. If I'm facing a battle, I know what Bible verses to go. If I'm just needing something to kind of push me on, give me a little kick, I know where to go and read in those passages of Scripture. And I go read what I need for today. Read your Bible every day. Please don't get mad at me for saying this. I don't care if you don't read through it in a year. Just read it every day. Walk with God and hear his voice today. The Bible says that we're to read it. We're to talk of his voice every day. The Bible said in Hebrews 4 and Hebrews chapter 3 that we're to yield to the Holy Ghost. Do you listen to the Holy Ghost every day? Well, I just don't see things the way you see it, preacher. It's not a matter of how I see it. How does God see it? What does the Holy Spirit say do? God does not work outside the confines of his word. The Holy Spirit will not ask you to do anything outside of that book right there. Because if he does, he's outside what God said. And he is God. He can't go against his own word. Well, I just feel like God wants me to sell my house and give everything to the church and live by faith. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you to do that. Don't do it. Everybody doing okay? You're looking at one preacher and tell you, you're nuts for doing that. I don't believe in that. Just like we're not going to have a give it all Sunday. I've been in churches and know pastors that they're trying to raise money for their church and they say, okay, that on a certain Sunday, you're going to give your entire paycheck and live by faith and expect God to take care of all of your needs. No, that's you asking your creditors to live by faith and you're being foolish. I don't believe in that. I believe everybody just ought to tithe, do what God said. If you have extra, give an offering. Past that, I'm not going to ask your mortgage company or your car insurance company or whoever you owe money to live by faith. And that's what you're doing. I'm going to say this. Don't listen to the wrong doctrines. Don't listen to the wrong Bibles. Don't listen to the wrong philosophies. Read God's Word, the King James Bible. That's it. You don't need reading commentaries. You don't need to read what man wrote. You don't need, by the way, all the other Bibles are what man says are easier to read. In other words, they don't like what God said. Everybody look at me for a second. If somebody had enough time to write a commentary, they probably weren't a soul winner. They weren't out knocking on doors keeping people out of hell. They were sitting in their office writing books. Don't read Mr. Schofield's notes. Mr. Schofield was a heretic. He didn't believe in the King James Bible only. C.I. Schofield was a hyper-Calvinist, believed in dispensationalism. I can show you places in his reference Bible where it says, this word is omitted in the original manuscripts. Well, he never saw the original manuscripts to know. These verses should not be there. They're not in the oldest manuscripts. Mr. Schofield had holes in his head big enough to drive a Mack truck. If he believes that, guess what? You don't need to read his material. I'm not against the Schofield Bible per se. Just don't read his notes. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. We need to walk with God each day. Look at Psalm 96. You were there at Psalm 95. Look at Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verse number 2. This is point number 2. And if I could get to the right chapter, it sure would be helpful here. Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from what? Day to day. Huh. In other words, show his salvation every day. 1 Chronicles 16:23, and I'm not going to go there. It talks about that we should show forth the salvation of the Lord today. Can I tell you how to be happy? Every day of your life, take time and thank God for being saved. Amen. Thank God that your name's written in heaven, that your sins have been washed away, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ was added to your account. You don't have to die and go to hell, that you get to go to heaven. You're going to walk streets of gold. You're going to see Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? You can't have a bad day if you're thinking about that every day. That's right. I don't care how cruddy this world gets. They can't take your salvation away. It's eternal. You'll never be judged for your sin. Bless God. If you would just take 2 minutes every day and thank God for your salvation and actually think about it, not just, well, thank God that I'm saved. No, think about what salvation really is. Good night. I have been saved for almost 47 years and I still haven't got over it. I get a little sick and tired of kids that get saved when they're 4, 5, 6 years old and they get to be 18, 19, 20, 21 years old and they say, well, I'm just tired of living the Christian life. Can I tell you why you're tired of living the Christian life? Because you want to be God of your own life. I've seen where that ends up. I don't want to end up that way. I thank God I didn't do it. Everybody doing all right? We need to think about and thank God for our salvation every day. No matter what happens, you can't get unsaved. No matter how bad the bills are, no matter how bad it is at work, no matter how bad the news, you can't be unsaved. That's enough to make you want to have a good day. Amen. I can tell you how to have a good day. Tell somebody else about getting saved. That'll give you a good day. That's enough to make you want to shout. Good night. The miracle of soul winning isn't that people get saved, necessarily. It's that God uses us sinners, knock on a door, talk to a total stranger, you've never seen him before. Stand up here, lost person. Knock on his door, he opens the door. I say, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. He doesn't know me from Adam. He's on his way to hell. I ask him if he knows for sure he's going to heaven. He says, I don't really know. I open my Bible, show him some verses, tell him he's a sinner. Because he's a sinner, he deserves to die and go to hell. But that Jesus Christ came and paid his sin debt. If he just trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior, that he could be saved. He bows his head, says a prayer, trusting Christ as his Savior, and he gets saved. Now that's a miracle. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. I've never been to heaven. I've never seen God, but he stood there and listened to it. It's not because of me. It's the message, and it's God, not me. And that's the miracle of salvation and soul winning. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. You played a lost person well. Tell somebody about Jesus. Can I tell you something? If you start thinking about eternity, and you start thinking about heaven, how can you have a bad day? Did you know the worst day on earth is the best day a lost person could have? Their eternity is hell. Did you know your best day on earth is worse than your worst day in heaven? Nothing here on earth can compare to heaven. I don't care how good it is right here. It's nothing compared to heaven. The only thing this world has to live for is what's here. Bless God, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm just passing through for a little while here. Number three, I got to hurry. Number four. Is that right? Yes. Number four. We're to do our best at work each day. Turn to John chapter 9. I think we ought to work the best we can every day. I think the hardest working, the best workers at work ought to be Christians. John chapter 9, look at verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Can I tell you something? You ought to give your best today at work. That means tomorrow when you go to work, tomorrow ought to be the best day you can give. Don't worry about what happened Friday. Don't worry about what's going to be Tuesday. Just work today. We ought to live today. We ought to work hard today. Let each day at work be its own work week. Can I show you how to do a big project? Break it down into today. A big project is nothing but a series of little projects. That's all it is. I have run national conferences. I have overseen huge staffs. I've been involved in unbelievably large days. I was part of a church staff where we had bigger days than Pentecost 5 different times. I was part of a day where we baptized 5,595 people in one day. Everybody look at me. We baptized over 5,000 people in one day. That doesn't just happen. You've got to have baptistry clothes. You've got to have multiple baptistries. You've got to have enough people to baptize that many, because one human being can only baptize about 250 or 300 people without passing over and dying. And your arm hurts for a week afterwards. Amen, Brother Stoltz. Do you know how many baptistries it takes? We would rent swimming pools and have 10 and 15 people being baptized at one time in one swimming pool. As fast as we could get them in, get them out, get them in, get them out, get them in, get them out. We had horse tanks everywhere. You name it, we had it. You got to have towels. Think of 5,000 plus towels. It takes some organization. Say, how'd you do it? We spent 3 months getting ready for it. And we broke it down. These people were in charge of this, and these people in this area, and everybody had their own area to work on, and we broke it down into smaller groups, and by the time it got there, man, we were renting churches. I'd go down to Kankakee, Illinois, Morning Star Baptist Church on Sunday afternoon. Between their services, we borrowed their church because we were in Kankakee working with some people, and I baptized almost 300 people in one afternoon in their church. We had more people baptized in their church building in one afternoon than they had had in the last 10 years. And the preacher standing there saying, I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it. He said, can my people go out with yours? We were training his church people how to go out and get people saved and bring them to church, get them baptized. Then I handed him decisions lists for 300 people that got baptized and said, here you go. That happens because you break it down into smaller groups. Same thing happens at work. Some of you get overwhelmed. Ladies, you get overwhelmed with your house. Can I tell you something? Clean one or two rooms a day. Quit trying to clean the whole thing at one time. Clean one or two rooms at a time. Clean it one room at a time. You don't have to do the whole thing every day. Just clean one or two rooms. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Quit worrying about it. Do your best. Quit trying to have a good project. Have a good today. Quit trying to finish this big project. How about you finish today? If yesterday was a bad day, forget it. Today started. Have a good day today. Gauge each day as its own. And don't stop to see if you're doing all right. My wife will tell you, I don't stop to see if I'm doing okay. I just keep trucking. You don't want to follow me on a trip somewhere. When I drive to Kentucky, yeah, we stop if my wife or my daughter needs to stop. But I'm one of those people, man, let's just click the hours and miles off. Amen. You'll travel faster setting your cruise control at 70 miles an hour and not touching it. It's amazing. You truck drivers know what I'm talking about. People speed up, they slow down. They speed up, they slow down. They speed up, they slow down. It's no wonder they don't get to where they're going, and then every 20 miles, they got to stop and go potty. Undo that. By the time they're about ready to turn yellow or green, it's time to stop, amen? On the fourth, we better stop. It's time to stop, all right? Here we go. We got this thing charted out. I've been on this trip to Kentucky so much, we got our stops planned. And we just count on stopping there. You say, why? Because we can travel faster that way. I like getting the miles under my belt. Boy, that's good stuff. If you have time to compare your work to other people's work, you're not working hard enough to have a good day. Why are you comparing your work to somebody else's work anyway? It's not your job that they're doing. So why are you worried about what they're doing? If you have time to think about how somebody else is doing their job, you're not putting enough time into your job. I don't base my work off of everybody else. Mrs. Barnes is my secretary. She puts 20 hours or so a week in here at the church. But do you know if she doesn't get something done, my work isn't devastated? There is very little I give her that says this has to be done at this time. Very little. I might say, in the next couple days, do you think we might be able to get to this? I work so far ahead, I set my deadlines way before they're needed. Let me show you what I mean. Mrs. Barnes, when did we make Dr. Anderson's hotel arrangements? February. I had his hotel reserved in February for May. I already know what's going on. I planned about a month ago to have a birthday party for him. I'm not all stressed out. The only thing I was stressed out about was he didn't have his airline tickets yet. I didn't know when I had to pick him up. And I called him this week and said, Doc, do you have your arrangements yet? Oh, You mean I didn't make those? Let me call you back in about 30 minutes. I'm not kidding. That was last Friday. And I said, do you know what city you're coming through? Well, it's either this one or that one. That's not going to help me know which flight you're on. I'll call you later. If I don't call you by middle to end of the week, call me and I'll make sure I have it. He called me on Wednesday coming to church. He said, here's my flight number. And I said, okay, doc, which city are you coming from? Eddie told me. That way I know what flight number and what city he's coming from, so I know which flight to track. He's coming from Hawaii. But he's got a layover here. Can I tell you something? I'm not stressed out about that. Could you pull that door closed for me just a little bit? They're okay. It's just, thank you. But I'm not worried about it. I've had everything planned. We had the ladies' meeting planned. We planned the ladies' meeting back in January for May. Worked on it several different meetings. We already know what the date is for the next one. We kind of are working on a theme for the next one. And we'll have a meeting in the next couple weeks to finish planning it. And we'll start the work for it. In May. For August. Say, why? Because I want to make sure all the deadlines are way in advance. That way if something happens, I can fix it before it gets here. Most of you put your deadline at the very time it's due. That's why you're late to everything, can't get anything done. If you're supposed to be somewhere at 7 o'clock, it takes you 20 minutes to get there. You leave at 6:40, and you're not counting on a red light. You're not counting on traffic being backed up. And you just don't plan ahead. I put my deadlines way before something's due. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. If you have time to help someone else with their work instead of doing your work, don't complain. If you've got enough time to do something, go help somebody else work. Don't play. You think you're King Tut because you worked 8 hours a day. And you get home and wonder why, and your wife works outside the home, but then she's got to cook, she's got to clean, she's got to do the laundry. She's got to keep up with the kids. She's got to help with the homework. And you wonder why she's wore out all the time. Doesn't want to go play like you want to go play. Well, how about you help her with her work? It's that simple. I got to quit. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You remember what Moses asked God, whom should I said sent me? God said, tell him the I am sent you. Ever present today. Jesus focused on each and every day individually. The key to a secret, or the secret to a happy life, live today. Hear his voice today. Let each day be its own day. Show forth the salvation. Think about and talk about salvation today. Work hard today. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just live today. Preacher, how do you live a happy life? I don't worry about living a happy life. I want to live happy today. I'm going to live happy today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. Can't change yesterday, so I don't think about it. Just live today. And that's how you have a happy life.